You are the Paul Revere's and Patrick Henry's of our generation. Bottom-up horizontal connection is key. Sharing at all levels, not top-down control. Public intelligence and influence is about to take off. We are about to bury rule by secrecy. Block that. 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 Bloggers, not informants, are key. If you bloggers self-organize and attach yourself like leeches to specific issues, corporations, organizations, challenges, whatever, you will be the intelligence minutemen of this century. The power is in your hands. There aren't enough guns to kill us all, and Halliburton can't build the jails fast enough to keep us down. Bloggers, as Linux is organized, where you grab onto an issue or something, and you are part of a structured citizen journalism blogging thing that lets no evil doing go unnoticed, that rules. So I think we're at a turning point. I think we're at the very beginning of a historic tidal shift in power. Bloggers, the power is in your hands. Bloggers, this is real shit. The power is in your hands. Block that. The United States of America no longer represents we the people. But you can change that. Block that. Is it central banking is an evil cancer? These people are selling us credit they don't have so they can take profits they don't deserve. Block. It forces you to become a blogger or hacker. So you guys are the lifeboat. We've gone from America the beautiful to America the shit. Now I believe we need to start blogging retrospective impeachment. I think it's time for citizen investigative journalism to go deep and go back and go current. Block that. The media isn't doing their job, and so it falls to you. Block that. 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 Block that.
American media is a business. Business has a mission, not to inform, but to entertain them.
It's never hearts and minds. It's never the threat of communism or the spread of peace. It's business.
The problem with the truth is that the truth is. You can't really shift the truth. That's why it's the truth. No matter how many facts you try to throw at it, no matter your angle or perceptions, you can't really spin the truth. You can spin perception. And the perception may affect your thought process and therefore your reality view of the truth. But the truth is.
Hopefully, in the not too distant future, we'll be able to merge our system with theirs, and of course with those of the rest of the world, to form some kind of a world brotherhood, a world union, a world government, to be exact.
The fact that the Washington Post had to brief America that Homeland Security finds it okay to detain your electronic media, your laptop or anything, your iPod, when you come into an airport in America, a foreigner or an American citizen.
One thing is for certain, and that is that there's a lot of crazy stuff flying through the air. It doesn't matter who's responsible for it, but what does matter is that there's a lot of different material that we can't see that is being broadcast through the air. Now, it's true that maybe some of it out there is mind control.
And now, the news for you.
And it's a new fucking day out here on the internet. Today is Monday, January 27th, 2012. This day in 1937, the Reichstag in Germany conveniently burns. The Nazi Party benefited greatly, and the crackdown that happened led to Adolf Hitler taking full control of the country. But you are listening to the new blasphemy that is Newsreel X, The new WOG Global Sit Rep on the core political tyranny and technology and trends for your headspace and timing. Oh, man, this sounds better every time I say it. But I'm going to give you the news that you need to stay alive and fight against the core political tyranny that is trying to enslave you. You can follow along and check the facts on my Facebook, not for long, at facebook.com/newsreelX. You're free to distribute, ridicule, destroy, take a shit on, or anything else that you want to do in this podcast. But Rant Radio and NewsreelX are standing for free speech, and just by you listening to this, you are standing up for free speech as well. We are not broadcasting from Second Life. At this time, we're broadcasting from the cynical cold real life, the life where blowjobs are few and far between. Now, if you like what you hear, and if you don't like what you hear, you can probably check out some of the other Rant shows and find something you like. You can donate to keep Rant Media alive. Go to rantmedia.ca and you can find the donate tab there and help Sumerian keep Rant Media free and going for all of you to hear. And speaking of Rant Media, I want to give a big shout out to my guys over at the Rangers. I see that the Rangers A to Z is now being broadcast on Rant Talk as well. They posted a great video today that I saw right before I started recording. Maybe I'll find the address to that and link to it. But hey, guys, hope all is going well over on the other side of the pond. And maybe I'll have to come over there and visit. My family's from Wales, so I wouldn't mind spending some time over there. I was there last February, Southern Wales and Southern England area stuff. I love Wales, especially Chepstow. Cardiff is great as well, but Chepstow has a great, quaint feeling to it, and a pub every 15 steps. My kind of town. Now, the mashup at the beginning of the show was I put together as a video that Yule sent me, along with a whole bunch of other stuff. I'm sorry, Yule, I can only use a couple things, but I'll backlog some of it. It's a video of a guy named Robert Steele, who used to be in the CIA, and he was speaking about blogging against the New World Order, blogging against our rights being taken away, blogging against the Fed and the pretty much everything. Then I turned it into a what will hopefully be an anthem called Blog That. But let's get into the news. In Mudhutter news, Pope tells infertile couples to shun artificial procreation. This is from USAtoday.com. Pope Benedict the 16th on Saturday urged infertile couples to shut the fuck up. I mean, to shun artificial procreation, decrying such methods as a form of arrogance. And of course, walking around with that funny hat and giving out edicts isn't arrogant at all, is it? Speaking at the end of a 3-day Vatican conference on diagnosing and treating infertility, Benedict also reiterated the church's teachings that marriage is the only permissible place to conceive children. So the water closet, the backseat of a car, or the back row in a movie theater are not permissible places to conceive children. The Pope pressed the church ban against artificial procreation, saying infertile couples should refrain from any method to try to conceive other than sex between husband and wife. Oh, these mudhutters kill me. He also goes to say sperm or egg donation and methods such as veto fertilization are banned by the church and its faithful. But he added, here's the kicker, that the church encourages medical research into fertility. The Catholic Church is really good at sending contradictory messages. That whole, I guess it started at the beginning with the whole Mary Mother, Mary Whore thing. Good to see that the good old Nazi Pope is keeping it up. It's, they're already 2,000 years behind, you know. They can keep ignoring all of our modern technology. They can feel free to. In fact, I hope for them not to go forth and artificially multiply. Oh, that was awful. And if any of you are playing the Newsreel X drinking game, that would be your first drink. Oh, but the mudhuttery doesn't end with our good Nazi Pope. Goes on, this is from, what is this? AdelaideNow.com from Australia. Koran insult sparked. Sparked. Koran insult sparked officer killings. So, the commander of the U.S.-led international force in Afghanistan Saturday withdrew all NATO personnel from government ministries in and around Kabul after two U.S. soldiers were killed inside the Afghan Interior Ministry. The killings of the two Americans inside the high-security Interior Ministry compound came on the fifth day of violent protests over the apparently inadvertently burning of Korans and other religious materials at a Bagram Air Force base. They also are the latest in the rising number of attacks on members of the U.S.-led international force by Afghan security force members, known in the U.S. military parlance as green or blue incidents. So these are people working within the new government, within the new security system. People that are supposed to be our allies. So this goes into a bit of description. It seems that the advisors are scolding the protesters that they were watching on TV and calling them bad names as they watched videos of the demonstration. They called the Quran a bad book in the presence of this guy. After that, the guy had a verbal argument with the advisors. He got very angry and started shooting them. Eight rounds were fired. He then sneaks out and disappears. No one even knew that the incident had happened for more than an hour because the room was soundproofed. I was in a good mood when I first started the show. Stuff like this just drives me crazy. Especially when I feel our troops shouldn't be there in the first place. After meeting some people who've been there, not just troops, but people that worked for different sections of the U.S. government over there trying to do nation building, which we're not supposed to be doing, hearing about the region and the way it is and how it's Fred Flintstone is just kicking around out there. It's the Stone Age. I really do not see how we could bring democracy and freedom to a place in the world where disparaging comments about their religion or their people is enough to kill you. Which, we're getting close to that here, too. So I guess it's not too far-fetched, and soon I'll know exactly what it's like. But it just it really takes away any optimism I could have about us leaving Afghanistan with any sort of reasonable state. It was a mess before we got there. It was a mess before the fucking Russians got there. I think that's something we should have learned. Never start an occupation in Afghanistan. The Russians who threw thousands of troops at it and a whole bunch of money and a whole bunch of artillery at it. They got the hell out of there, and then we tried to do the same thing. We should have learned. Oh, well, let's lighten the mood a little bit. Let's go with a little Chasing Your Own Shadow news. This is from the Daily Mail Online. Undercover policeman chased himself around the streets after CCTV operators mistook him for a suspect. An undercover policeman chased himself around the streets for more than 20 minutes after a bungling CCTV operator mistook him for a suspect. The rookie officer was staking out an area in Sussex, hit by a spate of burglaries when he was radioed about someone acting suspiciously, quote-unquote. That's second drink. In the area, the CCTV operator directed the policeman in pursuit, telling him he was hot on the heels of the suspect, quote-unquote, drink three. Not realizing the person he was watching on camera was a plainclothes officer himself. I haven't been drinking off, officer. The policeman spent around 20 minutes giving chase before a sergeant came into the control room and recognized that the suspect was in fact a member of his team. Which, this story's funny and everything, but it does point out that in London, where there's thousands of cameras watching everyone all the time, seeing everything that they do, the cameras have not had any sort of detrimental effect to the crime in the area. Which, I can't remember the stats, but let's let's get the little oracle going here. Get in the computer. Okay, here we go. This is from the London Evening Standard. And the headline is, tens of thousands of CCTV cameras, yet 80% of crime unsolved. Starts off, London has 10,000 crime-fighting cameras. Cameras which cost £200 million. But analysis of a publicly funded spy network, which is owned and controlled by the local authorities, has cast doubt on the ability for it to help or solve crime. Which it only took me a second to find that by typing in London CCTV crime. Try it yourself, see what comes up. So it is a funny story that we got somewhere out in the middle of nowhere, in a building, we have some guy watching all these cameras. And he's watching Sussex, and then we have our undercover officer who's on the scene trying to look normal. And while trying to look normal, he looks so suspicious that the CCTV operator calls him up and says, yeah, we have a suspicious character. He's about yay tall. He has brown hair. He's acting really suspicious. He's over on the corner of blank and blank. And the guy says, hey, wait, I'm right over by the corner of blank and blank. Oh, wait, I see him on this camera. He's running. Oh, on this camera, he's running. Man, that would have been great if you put some, like, Benny Hill music behind that. Oh, no, he's turning the corner. Go get him. Oh, look, there's a creepy old guy with his pants around his ankles chasing a sexy nurse. Go get him. Go get him. Oh, so what's that drink for? Yeah. If you're playing the Newsreel X drinking game, that would be drink four. And meanwhile, in Canada news...
Oh, Canada, our home and native land.
Man shocked by arrest after daughter draws picture of gun. A Kitchener father is upset that police arrested him at his child's school Wednesday. Hauled him down to the station, strip searched him, gave him the old slick finger, all because his four-year-old daughter drew a picture of a gun at school. This is a direct quote from the guy. I was picking up my kids, and then next thing you know, I'm locked up, says Jesse Sanson, 26-year-old. I was in shocks. Shocks. He was in handcuffs. I was in shock. This is completely insane. My daughter drew a gun on a piece of paper. The school principal, police, and child welfare officials, however, all stand by their actions. Which I don't understand how they fucking can. They said they had to investigate to determine whether a gun was in the Sanson's home. Which, what is this fear of guns? Yeah, I know, it's... Especially from America, where it's like, we can't talk about the act of making love. But we could talk about killing and shooting and, like, murder and death and bombing and... But, oh, don't talk about the sensual arts, ladies. You want to hear about the sensual arts? So, have we gone so far that even the mention of a gun is now something to be afraid of in a crime? Waterloo Regional Police Inspector Kevin Thaler said there was a complaint from the public school that a firearm was in a residence and the children had access to it. We had every concern based on this information that the child was in danger. Sanson thinks police overreacted, as do I and any other sane person. He didn't find out until hours after his arrest what had actually sparked the incident. He said he went to the school to pick up his three daughters. He was summoned to the principal's office where three officers were waiting for him. They said he was being charged with possession of a firearm. He was then escorted from the school in handcuffs and put in the back of a cruiser. At the same time, other officers were ransacking his house. They made his wife come down the police station while they sent his children off to the Family and Children's Services to be indoctrinated. Oh, wait, interviewed. Sorry. He was forced to remove his clothes and go through a full slippery finger strip search. Several hours later, a detective apologized and said he was being released with no charges. So Sanson here said he thought he was in good relations with the principal, who even offered him a job last year counseling students at the school. The way everything happened was completely unnecessary, especially since we know the school very well. I don't understand how they came to the conclusion from a four-year-old's drawing. A Family and Child Services spokesperson said our community would have expectation if comments were made about a gun in a house. What if that gun is legally owned in the house? What if it's, a hunting rifle or a BB gun or some other legal-to-have weapon? Is it just all guns are evil? Well, let's get into that in a second. We'd be obligated to investigate to ensure everyone's safety. Yes, we want to take your guns to make you safe. The school principal, Steve Zack, said a staff member called the child welfare official because the law requires them to report anything involving the safety or neglect of a child, which a guy that's going to the school himself, a man, to pick up his three fucking children, and they want to talk about safety and neglect? It's, I come from a broken home myself. My dad left when I was pretty young. These kids are damn lucky their father wants to show up and take their asses back home. That actually shows the parents care, and it sounds like they have a good house to me. As for the strip search, Thaler said it was just done for fun. No, wait, it was done for the officer's safety because it was firearms-related incident. You never know. You know, might have that firearm up the ass. At the point, the investigation determined there was not a real firearm. The individual was released unconditionally, said the chief of the police here. Well, good. it shouldn't have gotten to that point anyway. I think a simple, if they were that worried about it, probably when they brought him into the principal's office, had the three officers there, a simple conversation would have gotten to the bottom of it. It just shows a couple things. It shows the fact that they want everyone to be part of the system. It shows that even the idea of owning a gun is evil now. You know, we're all second citizens and need to be treated as guilty until we're proven to be innocent, which is completely against what I think our countries up here in the North America were founded on. Which a fun thing I thought of with this story is I'll ask you guys to join in on this. This is going to be the newsreel mail-a-thon. Is tomorrow, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get out a trusty little marker, and I'm going to get out a trusty little piece of paper, and I'm going to draw myself a gun on it. And after I draw the gun on it, I'm going to sign my name on it, then I'm going to put it in an envelope, and I'm going to send it right up here to the Forest Hills Public School. Here's the address, 255 Westmount Road East, Kitchener, Ontario, N2M 4Z2, and I'm going to address mine straight to the principal of that school. That's Steven Zack, principal of the school, who gladly got the police involved there. So I hope that Mr. Zack enjoys my nice drawing of a gun. Hopefully he'll hang it up. Remember, folks, when sending our fun little letters, don't allude to anything that is violent or threatening. Let's just have a little fun with this, okay? But after seeing how the police reacted with the daughter's drawing, I don't know. Are they going to come down to America and get me? We'll find out. If there's no show next week, I'm in a Canadian jail. You guys can come and bail me out. In Memory Hole News, this is from NPR.org. This is a blog. From Krollwich Wonders. I don't know who Krollwich is, but Robert Krollwich, there we go. This is from last week. Is the right to be forgotten the biggest threat to free speech on the internet? I'm only going to touch on this quickly. I'm not going to go through the whole article because it's
it's kind of frightening. So it has this picture of this model. It says, yes, this is Jessica, the tipsy one on the right. And yeah, she looks pretty drunk. She's on a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. She's a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model from Argentina, and she's very nice to look at. Well, yes, she is. But if you live in Argentina, you can't look at her. Put Jessica's name into Yahoo Argentina, and what do you get? A big nothing, a blank. She's not there. Jessica and her lawyers have exercised a legal right now dubbed the right to be forgotten that allows you to remove your embarrassing pictures or information you put on the web and do it permanently and totally. Which, the right to be forgotten. I don't need lawyers for that. Every woman I've ever been with has forgotten me. But this means you could tell Yahoo, Google, Facebook, I don't want that there anymore. I want it to be forgotten. And they have to take it down, or they're breaking the law. Which is, I really wonder how they try to accomplish this, because is it takedown notices? Are they pulling websites like the U.S. government? Or is it just, like, DNS, stopping DNS from going to the site? Or is it not indexing sites that have Jessica as a keyword? Jessica demanded that Yahoo remove certain pictures, and presumably a court has ordered Yahoo to block Jessica, quote-unquote, has a drink, searches while the two sides appeal. So right now it's in court, and while it is, the judges told Yahoo to please stop indexing or pulling up those searches. Argentina's not the only place with this right to be forgotten. Last month, 27 nations in the European Community announced new legislation that would make it the law across Europe. Immediately, lawyers, especially American lawyers, and particularly lawyers who defend free speech, began to holler, "Hold on, free speech!" Writing in the Stanford Law Review, Professor Jeffrey Rosen of George Washington University said this represents the biggest threat to free speech on the internet in the coming decade. Forget SOPA. Forget PIPA. What you need to be looking out for is Jessica. Well, here's the argument in favor of this law. This is by Vivian Redding, Vice President of the European Commission, arguing that everything we do, our emails, our blogs, our comments, our e-purchases, our porn watching, our tickets that we purchase, all of it is sitting in databases controlled in the great cloud, quote unquote. That's a drink. That information can and probably will stay in those computers forever. We should retain some control over that information, which I fucking agree with everything that this woman says, Miss Vivia Redding, but she should be pointing this stuff out to the government and large corporations. That, hey, wait a minute, all that information that you're taking from all of us, tracking everything we buy with our credit cards, everything that we look at online, we should have control over that. She has the right argument, just for the wrong thing. This doesn't make any sense for what she's proposing for you to be able to say, oh, I don't want that online anymore. Well, if you didn't want that on TMZ or wherever else, well, maybe you should spend less time getting drunk in public, more time getting drunk at home. Or, hell, if you're a swimsuit model and probably rich enough to party at the best places on Earth, you know, get the hell away from where the paparazzi are. So Vivian Redding makes some great arguments for the fact of representations holding our information and how we should have control over it. She doesn't make a good argument for public access or public access to public data. I guess the big reason why we'd have to stand up against this sort of shit in the beginning is that it quickly becomes a, which I hate to use this term, slippery slope. It's the same bullshit that every fucking nut job says. But once it's okay to block out this information on the internet, then it's okay to block out this. And now you can't know about alternative medicine or organic food or even what's going on in other countries. We need to stand up and fight any censoring, augmenting, blocking off, or blocking in of the internet. You know, in server, in strength, and we need to stand up to any of this, no matter how or from where the challenges come from. So now, in... Okay, I don't even know what to call this story. It's mostly visual, so we're going to have to do the Theater of the Mind thing here. So in Theater of the Mind news, there we go. This is from the weeklystandard.com. This is a chart. It's red. America's per capita government debt worse than Greece. This was released by Daniel Harper on the Weekly Standard website. The office of Senator Jeff Sessions, ranking member of the Senate Budget Committee, sends along this chart. Not personally to me, but send along. It's not a pie chart either. Showing that America's per capita government debt is worse than Greece, as well as Ireland, Italy, France, Portugal, and Spain. So it looks like the debt, whose debt is worse than Greece? Italy, Ireland, and us. So... It's a great little chart that shows the per person per capita government debt, where Greece is at $38,937 here in the United States. We're $44,215. We're number one. Where's Canada on this fucking list? Oh, you Canadians keeping your shit together. Ah, fucking hate that. It's an awful situation. Which, with the austerity measures and everything else, and the technocrats being put into power in Greece and everyone having no money in their pockets and the cost and pricing of everything being so controlled, all of that could happen here. Of course, we don't have Merkel breathing down our neck. I think Germany probably, looking at Greece as... ripe for the picking, like some lovely olives. But per capita, we're worse off right now than Greece is. And we haven't gone to the policies that they have. We haven't completely thrown out our government for some technocrats. I guess it's just that we're too big to fail. That sounds good to me. And in...
If it's no Scottish, it's crap!
News! News? That's not the right dialect. News! No, screw it. This is from the Washington Post. Scotland moves towards vote on independence. And I put in the background the Scottish national anthem for you to enjoy. From Edinburgh. After centuries of war with England, politicians in this stately city signed away Scotland's sovereignty in the early 1700s for the promise of riches and glory to the Empire. 300 years later, resurgent nationalists here are plotting a new rebellion to win it back. Scotland won the right to a devolved, quote-unquote, parliament in the late 1990s and has sweeping powers over, example, its judicial system and government spending. But full independence! Freedom! Would give the SNP the authority to fulfill a wide array of pledges, including expelling the British nuclear fleet from Scottish waters, withdrawing from NATO, and unwinding Scottish regiments from Britain's military forces overseas. It would also give politicians in Edinburgh the freedom to vote separately from, and perhaps counter to, Britain in world bodies such as the United Nations and the International Monetary Fund. In the staging of the referendum, the British and SNP remain at loggerheads over a few key points, including the exact wording, the number of ballot questions, and whether 16 and 17-year-olds who are seen more likely to support the independence will be allowed to vote. But what scares unionists most is that the three traditional British parties, Labour, Conservative and Liberal Democrats, have lost all credibility in Scotland in the recent years. With no definitive Scottish voice emerging to champion the cause to stay with Britain, separation seems likely. Well, I'm behind you, Scotland, because if it's not Scottish, it's crap. Oh, let's hear that again.
If it's no Scottish, it's crap.
Oh, Michael Myers, you slay me, especially on Halloween. Donkey! In WikiLeaks news, This is from wired.com/threat level. WikiLeaks pairs with Anonymous to publish intelligent firm's dirty laundry. In an unprecedented collaboration between Anonymous and WikiLeaks, the secret spilling site began leaking Sunday night portions of a massive trove of emails from the private intelligence firm Stratfor that Anonymous obtained by hacking apart the company in December. The first batch of leaked emails purported to show that Stratfor monitored the political prankster group known as the Yes-Men on behalf of Dow Chemical, which has been targeted by the Yes-Men over the company's handling of the Bofar disaster. The emails also purport to show Stratfor's attempt to set up an investment fund with Goldman Sachs director to trade on the intelligence Stratfor collects, which, you know, the first thing, you know, Dow Chemical paying this third-party company to investigate the Yes-Men, which, you know, Stratfor is a corporation. It's not law enforcement. It's not part of our government. It's a private company. Dow Chemical hiring them to monitor and whatever else, you know, maybe break their kneecaps. Sounds kind of mafia-esque. The Yes-Men. That's somewhat dirty. But when the emails show that Stratfor was looking to start an investment fund with Goldman Sachs and use inside information gleaned from their investigations for investment, that's inside trading, isn't it? That's just shady as hell. Which, you better not do it. And Martha Stewart better not do it. But, of course, our Congress can still do it. Stratfor, Stratfor. I'm going to have to look into where they got this name from. But Stratfor, which bills itself as a private intelligence organization, sells its analysis of global politics to major corporations and government agencies. Anonymous told Wired that the group decided to turn the information over to WikiLeaks because the site was more capable of analyzing and spreading the leaked information than Anonymous would be. Antisec, which is the arm of Anonymous that is known for hacking, great guys. Antisec acquires the shit. WikiLeaks gets it released in a proper manner. Gotta love that quote. Anonymous also told Wired that future collaborations with WikiLeaks could involve a series of hacks that'll be announced one after another every Friday for the foreseeable future. Can I just say I love you guys? WikiLeaks, I love. It seems that they've lost their way a bit with all of the legal trouble that Julian Assange has gotten into. Which I don't believe any of it. There's probably people that are closer to the story. All of it just sounds fishy. And keeping him so wrapped up in all of the legal problems and keeping him under 24-hour surveillance. There's this great article in Rolling Stone last month. I read on rollingstone.com. I wouldn't buy that piece of shit magazine. But they did have a great interview with him. And he talked about being outside in England, waiting to see what was going to happen with his deportation. And with all of this happening, WikiLeaks really hasn't had the balls or the leadership that they used to have, which I'm still behind them. It just seems like they're lost away. But Anonymous and Antisec, if any of you guys are listening, you are rock balls! Rock balls! Hack until your heart's content. I'm gonna buy you some fucking Gatorade and Twizzlers, and I'm gonna keep you guys amped up hacking all day long. Oh, I love you guys. In feel-good inventor news, this is a story I grabbed because this is something that I think I need to remind myself about sometimes and maybe remind everybody else about inventions and innovation and ideas. And this is kind of a complete fluff piece. It has all the parts. It has a young college girl in it. It has her father, who is in the military. It has veterans without legs. It could have been and probably will be a Lifetime motion picture. Except for no women are beating this. So okay. I'm going to find this girl, and I'm going to beat her. Because then after I beat her, then she'll be able to sign the contract with Lifetime Motion Pictures to have her Lifetime show on the television station there. But until the beating happens, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to beat her. Is advanced technical knowledge necessary to become an inventor? Look at the story of Catherine Bonkamp, and you will see that it isn't. Oh, Mrs. Bonkamp... or Ms. Bonkamp, 20, came up with the idea behind the pain-free socket, a prosthetic device that is intended to ease phantom limb pain in amputees. The device is now awaiting a patent. Works by applying heat to the amputee's joint socket through bile feedback. Ooh, nice old biofeedback. Can't get enough of that. Now a sophomore at West Virginia University, Miss Bonkamp was in high school when she began working on her invention. She had zero background in chemical or electrical engineering, but her experience shows how ambition, persistence, and an ample supply of curiosity, and probably a rather nice set of tits, can lay the groundwork for achieving breakthroughs and even technological ones. It also shows that drawing on one's experience and resources is as often as good as, if not better than, doing everything yourself, which is, this is something I firmly stand behind. Is we can't all be geniuses. We can't all have the great spec. If we were to pull out our little character sheets, going back to D&D and such, we don't all have +5 this and +5 that. We need to work with each other. We need to work on off of each other's strengths. And if you come to a situation where you do have an idea, about anything. It could be something stupid as hell. It could be something technology-based. It could be something educational. There are specialists out there. Use them. There's nothing worse than some asshole pretending he knows everything. Wait a minute. Why am I doing this show? You get what I mean. The seeds for the pain-free socket were sown when Miss Bonkamp, whose father was a disabled Air Force veteran, found herself in the waiting rooms of the Walter Reed Army Medical Center, the hospital in Washington, D.C., that has since been closed. Seated among wounded soldiers, just back from Iraq and Afghanistan, many of them were amputees. They could tell me their stories, and phantom pain kept coming up, she said. She started researching the condition and learned that most amputees are prescribed antipsychotics and barbiturates, which are expensive and have a high addiction rate. So I wanted to see if I could eliminate the need for some of these drugs holistically. So I started giving them all hand jobs. Oh, wait, no, that's not it here. An opportunity to pursue her idea came when her chemistry teacher announced a school science fair. See, this is like a Lifetime movie. Wanting to do something meaningful that impacted the community, quote-unquote. Take a drink. She said she decided to work on a device to treat the phantom pain. My thought process was, when I pull a muscle... I got one right here for you. I apply heat to it. If I applied the same concept to treating phantom pain, I thought that could work. Miss Bonkamp. I wish I'd just call her by her first name. This Miss Bonkamp stuff's driving me crazy. Who's called Ms. anymore? Was the furthest thing from a math or science geek. There was no way she could have done this, so she began emailing engineering professors pictures of her tits. She began emailing engineering professors at universities in the area and asking them for assistance. They all invited me to come work in their labs. Which I have a feeling that if 6 foot, 265 pound me was to go out there and say, hey, engineering professors, I have this great idea for this invention. Click. They all invited me to come work in their labs. Come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation. Patient. They helped her build a prosthetic socket as first prototype. Heated socks used by hunters served as the gadget's heat source. In the second generation prototype, the heated socks are replaced by a ribbing cable and electronics, where such the amputee could control the temperature of the socket. I'd like to control the temperature of her socket. In the meantime, she has applied for a patent and the device will be tested. She's also in talks with a domestic prosthetic company that licensed the right to sell her device, which is all a sweet story. And I love that she was actually trying to do something. So many people are overcome by the apathy of the situation. Everything is such a challenge. It's so hard. Why? You know, it comes down to the big fucking question, why? You look up and you go, yeah, I could go and do that. I could go Febreze the homeless. But why? Why? What's that going to get me? Our bitterness, our pessimism, our apathy. But she went out there. And she pushed and she, probably sent some BIE, and it was all good. Happy ending. But I just read the story because I think it's something we all have to be aware of. If we want to bring innovation, if we want to continue what's going on, whether it be with the internet or with arts or anything else, is we have to go out and do it. And we also, if we can't do it ourselves, we have to open our arms and ask for the help of others to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Which, listen to me be all Mr. like children's show guy. Like, hey, everybody, let's work together. Oh, and stay away from priests. Yeah, I would have a great children's show. So, for this week's Cyberpunk kit, this was sent to me by one of the... I would love to call the people that contact me and that I speak with about the show Army of Flying Monkeys, but I do not feel quite comfortable yet. I don't feel like I'm at a point that I could command an army of flying monkeys. It's more like the Army of Flying Monkeys branch division of cyber dystopian turtles or something. Jewel sent me this. It's a great website, ebooks of urban survival. So this is the urbansurvivalsite.com/ebooks. There's everything here from general survival, becoming self-sufficient for 6 months, building compact survivor kits, desert survival, emergency supplies. There's a gardening section here that I'm very interested in. I'll want to try this. Great sections on building some gardening, container gardening, growing different sorts of vegetables, health and medical stuff, community stuff, cooking. Really a lot more information than... Oh, wait, I think my pizza's here. Hold on. I love that. I'm talking about urban survival, and my pizza's here. Anyway, there's more information you could probably go through than you could go through at once. And I think there's too much good information here to leave it on the internet. I'm going to open one of these real quick. Yeah, PDFs. So, I think if... maybe if you work in a nice nice office, we're able to use someone else's large reams of paper. It might be fun to pick out what you feel could be the most important books and hit that old print button. I think keeping these in a virtual realm, it's great to get the information out there. But once the rivers of communication are severed... you're screwed. There you are a few days into martial law, and you go, oh yeah, I read this great article on how to collect water. Shit, if I could only get online and download it. Well, there it is. It's there for you to download. This week's Daily Hack is also from Jewel. From the Army of Flying Monkeys branch division of the cyber dystopian turtles. This is from chrisgood.com. This is the hacking of a what is supposed to be a single-use digital camera with very low memory into a larger memory multi-use camera. So for very few bucks, you're able to buy one of these digital cameras and mod it to better spec. I think a great use for these would probably be in situations, protests, riots, operations, things where you don't want to be taking expensive gear for one reason or another. Whether you need to dispose of it later, so no evidence of it, or if you fear that one of our lovely police officers or army people will be taking away from you and busting it and destroying anything that you may have taken pictures of, or if you're just cheap and white trash like me. So check that out. It's I think it leads into a bigger project, but that was the part of the project that really stood out for me. But that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back next week with the news that you need to survive. This show is free to distribute. Give it to your dog, give it the finger, give it a chance. If you would like to send me something, you can reach me at newsreelx@gmail.com. Not for long. If you like the music in the background, I've been playing The Epoxies, which was a great new wave punk revival band out of Portland, Oregon. They put out like two full-length albums and I think some vinyl that I don't have, with just great catchy stuff, and led by the wonderful and sexy Roxy Epoxy. She does have a radio show on, I think it's WKSU or something. If you look up Roxy's Ego Hour out of Portland, Oregon, she does a show on Mondays, hey, much like me, on Pacific Time, 6 o'clock, I think it starts. They used to have a great podcast of the show where you could listen to all the shows, but the site has been kind of crappy. But she also put out a solo album after the Epoxies broke up, called Roxy Epoxy and the Rebound, which is a funny name, real witty, called, I think it's called Band-Aids for Bullet Holes or something. But Roxy, if you're listening, I'm in love with you and I'd like to show you my cyber lair. Oh yeah, that'll work. Whenever I go to tell women about my cyber lair, I'll whisk you away to my island with my cyber lair. But a wise man once said, we'll never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. Until next time, that's not even close to what Sean Kennedy would have said. In server, in strength, end of line.
Hey there, baby doll, come meet me in the bathroom stall or anywhere you please. Hey there, lover, please, I'm begging you, I'm on my knees, it's cruel to make me wait a second more. Can't stand it anymore, oh no. him for you. Please, oh, baby, please, I'm begging you. I'm on my knees, I guess I'll have to wait a while more. Cause you know you've got me.
Yeah, you've got me.
I can't wait.
I can't wait
to have you on the floor. Wait to get inside your door. I can't stand it anymore. Oh, no.
Get inside your...